Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, to elevating of the soul, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Uven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This week we want to discuss two subjects that are interrelated that both involve Israeli suicidal behavior, Israeli Jewish suicidal behavior. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yarachem Aleinu, that God should have compassion on us and save us from our own insanity. One is the fact that since the terrible agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates that all the Jews are so thrilled over, this terrible agreement in mid-October of last year, in mid-October of 2020, since that agreement, 135,000 Israelis have already visited the United Arab Emirates. 135,000 Israelis in a country of 6.5 million Jews. Just insanity. We're going to discuss the implications of that and what all of that means and what this mania, this Israeli desire, this desperate Israeli desire to mix in and assimilate and have trade relations and all types of relations and friendly relations and all types of cultural relations and other relations with the Arab Muslims that surround Israel, how this insanity threatens Israel's very survival. And secondly, another threat of assimilation and self-destruction. The extreme left Israeli Supreme Court ruled that conservative and reform conversions are now valid, that they recognize now conservative and reform conversions, which of course are completely invalid, are against Jewish law, against Torah law, against halakha. But the Israeli Supreme Court said, no, you have to recognize them. Very grave danger to Israel. Let's start off with the Israelis visiting the United Arab Emirates, because these two subjects, again, as we mentioned at the outset, are interrelated. This Israeli Jewish obsession, and it's an obsession, of course, that exists on an even greater scale for Jews who live outside of Israel. This obsession with pleasing the Goyim, with assimilating and mixing with the Goyim, this obsession with adopting the cultures and customs of the Goyim so that we'll be accepted, so that we'll be liked, so that we won't have anti-Semitism. This obsessive, insane behavior always leads to terrible consequences. Chas v'chalila, God forbid, but always does. Israelis going to the United Arab Emirates, the 135,000 Israelis, creates the following dangers. First of all, the danger of assimilation and intermarriage. Yes, thousands of Israeli Jewish girls are married to Muslim men who beat and rape and terrorize them. They are practically prisoners in Arab villages where they live under conditions that are worse. A dog wouldn't live under these conditions. You wouldn't have an animal living under the conditions that they live under. Because Muslims have no respect for women and treat their women worse than they treat their cattle. And they're very cruel to their cattle. An Arab, just to give you an example, an Arab, if his camel is wounded and there's an open wound and blood coming out of the camel, the Arab will not even close the wound or will not even put a bandage on the wound, will do nothing, will let the camel continue to walk and let the wound grow and grow and fester until the camel gets sick and dies. And the same thing with their donkeys and camels and all of their cat and all of their animals. They're very cruel to their animals and even crueler to human beings. There is a real danger of assimilation and intermarriage with this new mixing that this is creating. This agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates in mid-October of 2020, this agreement that Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu are responsible for, this terrible agreement, which shows that Donald Trump was a terrible president for Israel, a terrible president who endangered Israel's survival. This agreement that Trump and Netanyahu engineered with the United Arab Emirates can lead to increased assimilation and intermarriage. That is a great danger. That's number one. Number two, it can lead to massive Israeli technology transfers, and we already see the beginnings of that. Israeli technology companies are expressing interest in having Arab Muslims who are enemies of the Jewish people buy up their technology companies. This is like giving Jewish brain power. The Jews are the most brilliant people in the world by far. Giving Jewish brain power to Arab Muslims who are filled with hatred and just want to destroy the Jewish people, just hatred and envy. That's their sole motivation, is hatred and envy. And they cleverly now want to use their money that they got from all these petrodollar sales over the years, from selling oil, from ripping off the Western world with their oil sales. They have trillions of dollars. They're sitting on top of trillions of dollars, and they want to buy up the Israeli economy and especially buy up Israeli technology companies. And so there's a great danger that very advanced Israeli technology can get into the hands of these Arab terrorist regimes. And they are terrorist regimes. Even the regimes that signed agreements with Israel are supporters of Arab terrorism, always were, always will be. Are supporters of the destruction of Israel, always were and always will be. They'll sign temporary agreements with Israel, but that's part of Taqiyya. Taqiyya means deception in Arabic. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, commanded the Arabs to engage in Taqiyya with the infidels, with the non-Muslim infidels. In other words, tell them you're your friends. Tell them you're friends with the. You tell the infidels you're friends with them. Tell the infidels. You can even lie about your religion. You can even say you're not a Muslim. You can even claim to. You can even say that you're an idol worshiper. Muhammad did that in the Quran. He used taqiyya, which is deception. The Muslims are commanded to use deception when dealing with non-Muslim infidels. And so you see Israeli companies that are willing to do technology transfers. And Israeli technology can be very advanced. Putting this in the hands of Arab terrorist regimes is very, very dangerous business. Once that gets to the, once Israeli technology is transferred to the Arab world, it will spread all over the Arab world. And that will create a danger for Israel and for America and for the whole West. So we have the danger of assimilation and intermarriage, which is already a serious problem in Israel with the Arab Muslims. And the second is the danger of Israeli technology transfers. The third is the danger, as we mentioned, of the United Arab Emirates, these wealthy Arab countries, the Saudis, the Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, all these very wealthy countries, oil-rich countries, coming in and buying up the Israeli economy. They can easily buy up the whole Israeli stock market and completely dominate the Israeli economy and own Israel economically. They can own Israel economically. The danger here is tremendous. So that's a third danger, that they're going to buy up the Israeli economy. Which they're already doing. They're already buying the most famous football team, as we mentioned in prior shows, Beitar Yerushalayim, and they're buying up the Israeli harbor, the strategic Israeli harbor in Haifa in English, in Haifa. They're buying up that harbor, that very strategic harbor. They're going to own the harbor. They're buying it. God forbid. And the fourth danger, we've mentioned three so far. Assimilation, intermarriage is the first one. Israeli technology transfers, advanced technology transfers to their enemies. The Arab Muslims is the second danger. And the third danger involved here is they're buying up the Israeli economy. These are the three dangers that flow from these agreements that were made between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Dubai. And there's a danger, and Morocco, and there's a danger that this will happen with Saudi Arabia, God forbid, as well. Very dangerous. Those are the first three dangers, the first three threats that are caused, that are posed by this danger. A fourth danger, very important one, is that this creates among Jews the illusion that they can trust Arab Muslims, that there are good Arab Muslims and you can trust Arab Muslims, and Arab Muslims are not their enemy, are not really their enemy. This is a complete illusion. The Arab Muslims that have trade relations with Israel are enemies of Israel. The Arab Muslims that have diplomatic relations with Israel are enemies of Israel. They continue to dream of the day when the Jewish state will be destroyed. They, the more clever Arabs, want to buy up Israel with their money. and want to come in and take over Israel. They do not accept the existence of a non-Muslim state in the middle of the Middle East. Israel is a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. They will never accept the existence of a tiny non-Muslim infidel, quote-unquote, Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. They will never accept that. Some of them will seek to eliminate that through terrorism. Some of them will seek to eliminate that, like Iran, through nuclear bombs and possibility of a nuclear holocaust, God forbid. And some of them will seek to eliminate that by buying up the Israeli economy, by buying up Israeli technology, by taking control from within. Those are the most dangerous ones, the ones that want to take control from within. And that's the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Saudi Arabia. These countries are the most dangerous enemies Israel has. So there are four dangers here. Again, assimilation and intermarriage. This mingling, the 135,000 Israelis already visiting the United Arab Emirates, this mingling and friendliness with the Arabs will lead, God forbid, to intermarriages, will lead to assimilation, will lead to terrible consequences. That's number one. Number two, Israeli technology transfers. Very dangerous, very, very dangerous situation that we could have Israeli technology transfers to Israel's Arab enemies. Number three, they can buy up the Israeli economy. They easily have the money to do it. And number four, they create the impression among Jews that Arab Muslims can be trusted, that Arab Muslims are their friends, that Arab Muslims are moderates, that Arab Muslims are not their enemy. Very dangerous illusion. Because then the Jews are not on their guard, are not ready to defend themselves when that happens. And that creates a very serious threat to Israel's survival. So those are the four dangers that are caused by this. Now, it is not by accident that the prophets in the Bible all warned, strenuously warned, repeatedly warned against such alliances with the nations of the Middle East, the nations of the world. That Israel must not rely on the nations of the world. The prophets in the Bible warn against this over and over again. Do not lean on the broken reed of Egypt, because Egypt was supposed to be Israel's ally against Assyria. And the prophets warn against this type of behavior. Do not lean on Egypt. Do not lean on other countries. Do not form alliances with other countries, because they will betray you. The Jews were meant to defend themselves and rely on themselves for their own survival. This is the Jewish destiny, and if the Jews ignore that and trust other nations and trust their enemies and rely on their enemies and create a world of fantasy and illusion that their enemies are really their friends, that is a great danger to their survival, and this is one of the things that led to their downfall. We had the destruction of the first temple and the destruction of Israel, the first kingdom of Israel, and Israel and Judah. Those kingdoms were destroyed. One of the reasons were because they relied on their enemies. And the second destruction involves the same thing. The Jews were the ones that invited the Greeks to come into Israel when they were fighting civil war with each other. They invited the Greeks to come in and help them in the civil war. And the Greeks came in and took over the whole country. That's what led to the revolt of Hanukkah and other rebellions with the Maccabees. And the same thing happened with the Romans. It was the Jews who invited the Romans in to help them fight against the Greeks. Then they invited the Romans in to help them fight against the Greeks. The Jews must rely upon themselves to defend themselves. They cannot trust the United States or rely on the United States. They should not accept one penny of so-called U.S. foreign aid. U.S. foreign aid is harmful to Israel. They cannot trust or rely upon the nations of the world for their protection and their salvation. That is something the biblical prophets, Hanevi'im in the Bible, warn about over and over and over again. So that's the first thing we have to worry about this week. And the second thing is... But before we get to the second thing, when it comes to these accords, Donald Trump was worse for the Jews than Joe Biden. He was actually worse than Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden hasn't been obsessively pushing this the way Trump and Jared Kushner and the other beasts who were in the Trump administration were pushing this. So Trump was worse than Biden when it comes to these agreements with the United Arab Emirates and these Arab countries. When it comes to Israel's relationship with the Arab world, Trump is worse than Biden. Worse than Biden. Biden hasn't even really been dealing. He has put this on the back burner. This isn't even a major issue for him, which is good for the Jews. The less attention is that's paid to Israel, that means less pressure is on Israel. That means there's less push for these crazy agreements. That's better for Israel and better for the Jews. So when it comes to Israel's relationship with the Arab world, Trump is actually worse than Biden. Now, when it comes to Iran, Biden is worse than Trump. Okay, when it comes to Iran, because when it comes to Iran, Biden wants to give them massive aid and wants to end the sanctions and wants to do some terrible things when it comes to Iran. So Biden is worse than Trump when it comes to Iran, but when it comes to the Arab world, Trump is worse than Biden. It's a fact. Now, the second subject we want to speak about that endangers Israel this week, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled that conservative and reform conversions are valid. In other words, Gentiles who seek to convert to Judaism, convert in quotes, through the conservative reform assimilationist movements are to be accepted in Israel. This is a terrible ruling, validating and legitimizing the conservative and the reform movements in Israel. Let's understand something. The conservative and reform assimilationist movements are not Jewish movements. They are anti-Jewish assimilationist movements that led to the spiritual destruction of millions of Jews. Millions of Jewish souls were lost because of the conservative and reform movements. They were the excuse Jews used to leave genuine Judaism. They left genuine Torah Judaism and they went to a deformed temple, we call them deformed, one of the deformed temples, one of the so-called conservative temples, where they have gay so-called rabbis and they have intermarriage being performed, and every abomination under the sun takes place in these temples. They are horrible places. They are the antithesis of Torah Judaism. They're the antithesis. And they destroyed American Jewry. American Jewry has been destroyed, has been obliterated by these movements. And they want to bring this nightmare now to Israel and destroy Israeli Jewry, God forbid, with these movements. That's what this Israeli Supreme Court ruling means. It is a terrible threat to Israel. And again, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud, Naftali Bennett and Yamina, those are two parties that claim to be right-wing that are completely, completely full of baloney, lying, phony, hypocritical, opportunistic, corrupt, evil parties that represent the worst, that are worse than the left. And I'll tell you why the phony right is worse than the left. Because the phony right in Israel, they can actually convince good Jews to do stupid, crazy things. Because they think, well, they could, they're right wing, so of course, it can't be that bad. The right wingers are saying it's okay. That's the danger when the phony right does these things. When the left proposes doing the same exact things, the good Jews say, get their guard up and say, oh no, the left, they're a bunch of traitors. I know I'm not going to go do what they say. But Netanyahu has the reputation for being a so-called right-winger. So when Netanyahu proposes this, or when Naftali Bennett proposes this, it's considered to be acceptable. The Haredi parties in Israel, Shas, and the so-called Torah Judaism party, complete frauds, couldn't care less about anything except lining their pockets with money, complete frauds. And they, plus the Likud, plus the Yamina party of Naftali Bennett, they represent a terrible threat to Israel. And by the way, the party that Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir at one time actually claimed to be a Kahanist. Smotrich and Ben-Gvir are Likudnikim, are completely with the Likud now. They'll defend and do anything that Netanyahu tells them to do. They just want power. They're complete opportunists and complete frauds. So there is no one in the election that's coming up. The Israelis are having a Knesset election, a parliamentary election on March 23rd, where they're going to decide the new government. No one that is running is good. But the phony right is even worse than the left. we want Netanyahu to be defeated. He probably won't be. He'll probably win. He'll probably win the election, God forbid, but the best thing would be if he was defeated. Because even an openly left-wing prime minister would be better than Netanyahu. An open left-wing prime minister could never do all the damage that Netanyahu does. Most Israelis would immediately say, oh no, you're a leftist, you're a traitor, I'm not going to follow what you say. They don't have, the left doesn't have the power and the strength to convince the majority of Israelis to go along with their insane agenda. And so if Yair Lapid from Yesh Atid, Yesh Atid means there is a future in Hebrew, his party's called Yesh Atid. If Yair Lapid from Yesh Atid became prime minister, as bad as he would be, and he's terrible and evil, and as evil and terrible as he is, Netanyahu is worse than him. Remember, Netanyahu is the only prime minister in Israel's history who froze Jewish building even in Yerushalayim, even in Jerusalem, Israel's capital. The left never did that. They never dared to do that. There'd be an uproar if the left froze Jewish building in Jerusalem. There'd be an uproar. It's like in America. Donald Trump was spending money at a faster pace than the Democrats. And yet, when Barack Hussein Obama was in power, you had the Tea Party. They were formed, and they also were going to run for Congress. We're going to stop Obama because he's bankrupting the country. You remember that? They promised to run and prevent Obama from bankrupting the country. Trump was spending money at a much faster rate than Obama. Where were all the Tea Party people? Where were all the Tea Party conservatives who were so concerned about the debt, the national debt, the national deficits? Where were they when Trump was outspending Obama and outspending every other president and getting the country deeper into debt faster than any other president? I'm talking about even before the coronavirus. I'll give you another interesting statistic that just shows you how the phony right can be worse than the left many times. In 2019, when Donald Trump was president, you know there were more illegal aliens crossing the border in 2019 than there are now? Everybody's saying, oh, look at the southern border, what a crisis. Now the illegal aliens are all coming. It's terrible that Biden is president. Look what he's done. In 2019, more illegal aliens were crossing the border than are crossing the border now under Biden. Under Trump, more illegal aliens were coming in than under Biden. I mean, who was complaining about that then? But that, they didn't, because Trump was president, it was okay. He's guarding our border. He's securing the border. Baloney. He promised to build a fence. They said, well, he was building a fence. He built like 40 miles of fence. 40 miles of fence. Nothing. A joke on the southern border. So this shows you how the phony right can be worse than the left. And the same situation exists in Israel. Netanyahu is worse than the left in Israel. Worse. And he's got to go. Again, I think he's going to win the election on March 23rd, unfortunately. But we're doing everything we can to defeat him. He should be defeated. He should not be returned to power in Israel. For 12 years, he froze all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. For 12 years, no other Israeli prime minister ever did that in Israeli history. Completely evil, insane policy, anti-Semitic policy of freezing all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem for 12 whole years. The left never did that when they were in power. So he's the worst. He's the worst that you can get. And he's got to go. These are the challenges we're faced with. And, you know, on the other hand, Hashem, God, has done wonderful things for Israel and the Jewish people in the land. Look at the big Jewish birth rate, Baruch Hashem. Even non-religious Jewish women have a natural increase in births. They're having babies, even non-religious Jewish women in Israel. There's something about the land of Israel. Hashem is preparing us for the final redemption. And the religious Jewish women in Israel have a higher birth rate than the Arab Muslim women. And Muslim women have a high birth rate. But the religious Jewish women have a higher birth rate than the Muslim women. This is all the hand of Hashem. For years now, the majority of babies being born into Israeli families come from religious Jewish homes. So the situation is being set up for the time when the majority of Israeli Jews will be religious. It's not yet, that hasn't happened yet. But little by little, the percentages are increasing. Already about a third of Israeli Jews are religious, or come from either their Haredim or their Srugim. Srugim means knitted yarmulkes. They're the Israeli Zion, the religious Zionists. And the Haredim are the religious non-Zionists. But about a third of Israeli Jews now already are from religious, are religious. The majority of Israeli babies and Israeli children up to the age of 6 are religious. So the future is looking religious. This is why is looking religious. This is why the anti-religious forces in Israel, from the phony right and from the left, are panicking and are making these crazy rulings and doing these crazy things to break the back of this tide of spirituality that is coming over Israel, that is moving over Israel and taking over Israel, which is a positive thing. The more Israel becomes a religious state, the more Israel has religious Jews and Torah Jews and Torah observant Jews, the better it is for the Jewish people. And that's happening. That's happening. But it's in danger. It's in grave danger because of these actions being taken and the fact that no one is standing up to these actions. So that's what we try to warn. That's what we try to warn and alert the people of Israel to. These are the dangers. They're very real. This is a very critical time in the history of Israel and the Jewish people. And if you know anything about it, you read your Bible, you'll see that the future of the world depends upon what happens in that little country, Israel. God decides the destiny of the whole world based upon what happens in Israel. So the future of the whole world is at stake here. And we are trying to change that. We're reaching thousands of Israeli Jews with our advertising campaign. We've already reached millions over the years. We've reached millions of Israeli Jews with our advertising campaigns. And I think they've had some effect to a certain degree, but it's not enough. It's not enough. We need much more. But we're doing the best we can under the circumstances, and we are reaching people, and we're trying to make a big difference in the election coming up on March 23rd, which, again, I'm not optimistic about the results of the election on March 23rd. I'm not optimistic about defeating Netanyahu, but we're going to do everything we can to do that. And we'll see what happens. And by the way, don't think if we defeat Netanyahu again, don't think we're going to get a good prime minister. It's going to be a terrible prime minister. But the prime minister that would come from the anti-Netanyahu forces will be less damaging than Netanyahu himself. What he is doing is so damaging and so dangerous to Israel. He's legitimizing the Arab parties, the Arab terrorist parties in the Israeli Knesset. He's willing to invite them into his government. I mean, we never had legitimization of these Arab parties that openly call for the destruction of Israel. We never had that before. And Netanyahu is doing that. Terrible, terrible situation. But remember, in the end, we're promised the good guys are going to win in the end. Hashem promises us this. Hashem, in his mercy, is going to give us this victory. Not because this generation deserves it. This generation deserves nothing. This generation doesn't deserve the rewards that Hashem is going to give. It's because of prior generations, people who were willing to die al kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. The many Jews who were burned at the stake saying Shema Yisrael, saying Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, when they were being told you have to convert or die, and they were willing to be burned at the stake and not give up their Jewish beliefs. Because of heroes like them, because of heroes like Rabbi Akiva, who was skinned alive by the Romans because he refused to stop teaching Torah. Because of heroes like the Jews in Metzada, in Masada, who committed mass suicide rather than letting the Romans defile them and forcibly convert them and forcibly convert their children. So they committed mass suicide, 1,200 Jews, because they had no hope of surviving against the Roman forces who had surrounded them. These Jewish heroes in past generations who gave their lives, who faced violent, terrible deaths, these Jews in past generations, it is because of them that Hashem will give us in the end a reward. The good guys are going to win in the end. We're going to have the Mashiach, and we're going to have This Israel will never be destroyed, and they will be, and there will be eternal redemption this time, when the final redemption comes. And we're moving in that direction. All the everything that was predicted, it's all coming true. We're moving in that direction. You know, when that car crashed into me several weeks ago, you know that I was in, that a car crashed into me. And it was a Jeep Cherokee. Big, powerful car, crashed right into me, fractured my hip. It was very painful. When I felt that car, that metal, from that, the power of that car crashing into my, I'm just flesh and bones. I'm just a human being. I'm just flesh and bones against that, the power of a car. I could have easily been killed. Baruch Hashem, saved me from being killed, and I thank Hashem every moment, for every moment that I'm alive. But when I felt that, it was the most painful thing I ever felt in my life. It was so painful. That metal crashing in and breaking into my hip and busting my or fracturing my hip bone. It was so painful. It was really, really painful. And I felt, and you know, I felt for a moment, maybe just a little bit of the pain that these Jewish heroes, it brought home to me, maybe a little bit of the pain that these Jewish heroes have faced in history. The Jewish heroes who were burned at the stake. Can you imagine being burned alive? Can you imagine how painful, how agonizing that is? And one of the rabbis being burned while he was burned, he burned him in front of his students, and his students asked him, "Rabbi, what do you see now?" And what happened was the flames were kicking up the pages, were burning the, because they put the Torah there to be burned together with him. They burned him together with the Torah, the Romans. Yimash, Mamba, Zechram, Shem, Reshayim, Yirakav. May their names and memories be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. They burned him together with the Torah. And they said, "Rabbi, what do you see?" And he said, and because he saw the flames kicking up the pages, you know, when you see when you burn a book or something, the pages go flying in the air, some of them. He said, "I see the letters of the Torah in the air, flying through the air." He saw the letters of the Torah. He was seeing the Torah and the letters of the Torah as the last thing while his flesh was burning and he was facing this terrible catastrophe. But he still, to the very end, what he saw was the Torah. What he lived for was the Torah. Those were Jewish leaders. And it is because of Jewish leaders like that who gave their lives. Jewish leaders like Morenu veRabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzaddik veKadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, who was murdered by Al-Qaeda 31 years ago. Because of leaders like him, he gave his life refusing to compromise and refusing to stop telling the truth and stop exposing the truth. It was because of heroes like him. And he was saying the Shema. He was saying Shema Yisrael as he was dying, as he was bleeding. Because people, they saw him bleeding and they see him and they heard him saying the Shema while he was bleeding, while the bullets, as the two bullets were that killed him in the end were killing him. It is leaders like this, it's Jewish heroes like this, who are willing to feel the pain of bullets or fire, or having been skinned alive, or going to gas chambers or crematorium, or being tortured through other means, or being crucified. Tens of thousands of Jews were crucified by the Romans. I know that everybody makes a big deal about Yeshu being crucified. Very questionable, by the way, if that actually happened. But the truth is, this was a method of execution, of torturous execution that the Romans used in a widespread manner against tens of thousands of Jews. Can you imagine having a nail put in your wrists and nails in your legs and bleed to death in agony on a cross, hanging from a cross? Can you imagine this? Tens of thousands of Jews were murdered this way by the Romans. What our people suffered, and they refused to surrender their Jewishness. It's because of them that Hashem will give us eternal redemption in the end. They are the winning ticket, are the winning ticket for the Jewish people. They're the ones who really are buying redemption for all of us. We're riding on their backs on the way to redemption. But we have to do whatever we can to tell the truth and stand for the truth and fight for the truth. We're required to do that. And that's what JTF is trying to do. That's what JTF is doing with its advertising campaign, and hopefully we'll reach Jews with the truth, and hopefully we can make a difference. Because again, someday the Jews are going to wake up. We were promised that already. There will be an awakening, and great things will happen. Things beyond our wildest imagination, the most wonderful things imaginable, will occur. That's in the future. But right now, our task, our challenge, is to bring truth to a generation that doesn't hear truth from any other source. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history. We can make a difference and make this a better world. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.